While the gentlemen are being seated, I would like to mention one thing I forgot to point out when making reference to Troy Holton being here with us. In the past, we have always indicated on our bulletin by a logo indicative of Grace Doctrine Church that that individual is serving somewhere in a hostile environment. Forgot to mention that Troy is going to be deployed to Iraq within the next few weeks, and therefore we need to be in prayer for him, and we'll indicate his deployment in the July bulletin. Again, Troy, thank you for your service. We'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use the time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? And now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us as we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. As we left off our study from last hour, we're now ready to move into the exegesis of James 1:19, which begins with a perfect active imperative of the verb oida. Know this. The imperative demands that. The perfect tense is a definite perfect with present meaning. That stresses the continuance of results through present time. Translated, keep on knowing this. In other words, you're to know what has been said and what is to follow, and you're to keep on reminding yourself of it. Keep on knowing this. The active voice means that James's audience is to produce the action of attending the local church. Attendance, however, is not enough, so there are house rules that must be observed in order to ensure an environment for learning. And so James then identifies those who are recipients of this command, my beloved brethren. The phrase refers to fellow believers in the royal family of God. So he knows that there is, without and around Israel, there are those in the diaspora that are going to receive his epistle and that they will learn from it. He knows that there are Messianic Jews, obviously, that are going to receive this, and he identifies them as such. Now, what follows are directives on what believers are commanded to do regarding their obligations in the royal family of God. Before doing this, the believer must first join a local church. This is the church age, and therefore the system has been enucleated in Scripture that there are going to be local churches. There will be a pastor teacher assigned to those churches. He will teach doctrine exegetically to them. And therefore, they will assemble systematically in order to learn the Word of God and grow in grace. This is the church age. So James identifies those who are recipients of this command, my beloved brethren, the fellow believers in the royal family. Now, what follows are directives on what believers are commanded to do regarding their obligations to the royal family. And so before doing this, the believer must first join a local church. Once done, there are three directives that are found in this verse: quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The importance of the structure of this verse and its purposes need analysis. So the verse begins with a perfect active imperative, the verb oida, know this. In other words, keep on knowing this. It is in its form, we have oida. It can either be a perfect imperative or a perfect indicative. Advocates of the perfect imperative say that James calls attention to what follows in the passage, and therefore, here's the rationale. Now, I'm going to bore you with an excerpt here. It goes a little bit like two paragraphs on two pages. We are noting that James has the most imperative moods of any of the books of the New Testament, 59 imperative moods. It's the first epistle out of the box. This is going to therefore establish a lot of rules that the church, members of the church, universal, are going to have to know in order to establish consistency in growing in grace in the new dispensation. And so it is imperative that we understand that this is an imperative, not an indicative. Indicative says it's true, and imperative says not only is it true, but you're ordered to do it. So let's take up some grammar here. The imperative is preferred for a number of reasons. First of all, it is consistent with the style of James, who uses the imperative more than any other New Testament writer, especially when opening a new paragraph. And this does open a new paragraph. Secondly, James makes his appeal to his reader's knowledge elsewhere in the form of a rhetorical question. For example, chapter 4, verse 4, do you not know? And in 2:20, do you wish to know? Not with an indicative statement, as is suggested by some. Thirdly, the other two occurrences of the form in Ephesians 5:5 and Hebrews 12:17 may be indicative, but each of these is introduced by causal gar, which is translated for, which is not the case here, with its absolute standalone appeal for the readers to know what follows. For, in other uses of beloved brothers, James calls attention to what follows, which is more consistent with the imperative usage that he has used in chapter 1:16 and 2:25. Fifth, in these passages, James is fond of using what linguists call a meta comment that is not necessary to the sentence but calls attention to what is about to be said. In other words, a meta comment expands on an idea. Do not be deceived. Listen also above all things, chapter 5, verse 12. And because this is the only time that a perfect imperative command opens a new paragraph, we should explore further whether there may be a reason for its use. It is becoming more widely accepted in recent years that the perfect tense conveys greater prominence in a sentence than do the other tense forms. The word functions here as a meta comment to call attention to the imperative esso, that's the verb to be, it's translated must be, imperative esso that is then followed by three infinitives, slow, speak, and anger. All three are imperatives. The third person imperative of esso, the verb to be is eimi, and esso is a translation in this text, is as strong as any of the second person imperatives in the book, translated must be here. Any translation that leaves an impression of permission and not of a command reflects an English phenomenon and does not reflect the Greek imperatival force. It is an imperative. It is the imperative eimi, must be, that introduces what the readers need to know. Okay. It's from William Varner's Evangelical Exegetical Commentary, which was published in 2014. So this is very current as far as New Testament analysis is concerned, and I wanted to pass that along because you see that what is occurring throughout the book are imperative moods more than anyone else uses in any of the other epistles. And so there's some controversy here as whether it's indicative or an imperative. And I've given you Varner's analysis of why it is an imperative. Now, you may not have grasped everything that I said here. You may reread this if you wish. But the bottom line I'm establishing here is that it is no doubt an imperative mood, and three concepts follow that fall under the imperative concept. What are you to do? You're to sit down and shut up and fake it till you make it. That's the concept right there. No talking, none of that. So the purpose of the rather detailed evaluation of the verb oida, know this, is to establish the fact that the following commands are directed to all believers and are central to the fulfillment of each person's advancement in the plan of God. Bottom line, academic discipline is what's required. Now, this congregation has wonderful academic discipline. In my 32 years here, I very rarely had to speak to someone misbehaving in the congregation. It happened over in Chesterfield when we were meeting in the gymnasium, which is good. Gymnasium is where you do exercising, so this is mental exercise. There were some people that would pop in from time to time there, but since we moved here, I've managed to run most people off, and so people rarely come in who are what I call ringers. And so the last one that I remember was about 10 years ago when a guy fell asleep about where Jay is sitting right now. He just completely passed out with his head toward the ceiling and all kinds of noises were coming out. And we had to ask that maybe he sleep somewhere else. And point is, there's great academic discipline here. And we'll get involved in the analysis of this verse, and we will see that when you follow these guidelines, it will ensure that as you gather here, if you can concentrate, you will gradually piece things together from the Word of God and become a part of your inventory of ideas. No matter what you do, as I glance across the room here, I see people who have been in business in some manner or fashion, some discipline, or are so now. And in advancing in an organization, you have to learn from the very get-go. Nobody knows everything about a given discipline the first day out. And so they have to be humble enough to realize that they know nothing. You adopt that principle right off. I know nothing. And then you allow those experts who are involved in the operation to teach you. And there's a process and procedure for that. And if you'll stay with it and be humble, you will gradually acquire that inventory that those who have been there a while have shared with you. And you'll become a professional and you'll start teaching others. It takes humility to do this. And some people are real cocky and think they know everything, and those types really don't know much anyhow. They do know that they're arrogant, I guess. Nevertheless, when it comes to the Bible, it's an entirely different thing. Everybody has some attitude about the Bible. They may never go to church, may never crack its pages of the Bible, but they have their ideas about what the Bible says and what it means. And some of the most outlandish ideas come from such people. It is best, if you're not a serious student of the Word of God, not to comment too much about what you think it means. Just say, you know, I'm a sincere student of the Word of God, and I'm trying my best to learn all that I need to know that God would have me know. This I do know. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by faith alone in Him I have eternal life. I know that. And I'm putting the rest of it together piecemeal, sequentially over time. And I suggest that maybe if you would sit down, shut up, and concentrate, you would find out it has a great deal to say to you as well. That'd be the way to say it. And I'm sure that some of you would say, you know, why I put it that way? I'm just telling you the system. You put it the way you want it. People have to be humble coming in here. You talk about humble. I showed up at Baraka Church along with Mama back in late 1976. And I knew that my job was to sit down and shut up and fake it till you make it. This congregation systematically for 32 years has had excellent academic discipline. Those who stay with it are those who've grown in grace and therefore can run their lives by accessing principles, concepts, ideas, and doctrines from the Word of God in decision-making in their lives. It's a wonderful resource if people simply be humble enough to sit down and listen. If you don't understand something, that's fine. It's the Word of God. It's supposed to be difficult at times, but the Holy Spirit will make it simple. Okay, enough of that. The principle of this rather detailed evaluation of the verb oida, know this, is to establish the fact that the following commands are directed to all believers and are central to the fulfillment of each person's advancement in the plan of God. Know this forces the reader on the following command that everyone must be. Everyone must be. It's an imperative mood as we've established. And the singular noun, anthropos, focuses the commandment on each individual member of the church body. An imperative to everyone in this room, everyone that James focused his attention on, and everyone in between. What each person must be is indicated by three factors of self-discipline that are imperative for one's spiritual growth. Now, you can take these three words and therefore impute to them the imperative mood. And what the imperative mood is, know this, everyone must be, 1, 2, 3. But it's just one imperative mood with three applications. And that is where you get spiritual growth. Now, factor number one is the command to be quick to hear. The word quick here is toxous. And therefore, its root meaning, you have meanings here that can be quick, swift, or nimble. In this context, it means to be ready or to be prompt. When you sit down, you need to be ready to concentrate on the teaching of the Word. You need to be prompt to do that. That's why we pause each Bible class for a confession alone to God alone. This orients you to the necessity to have the instruction and guidance of the Holy Spirit so that you can understand what's being communicated and how it may apply to you personally. So that's factor number one. This indicates preparedness, including orientation, anticipation, focus, and concentration. This mental attitude can only be accomplished by being inside the bubble, which is acquired by confession alone to God alone. Now, I describe the bubble as being inside the divine power system. In fellowship is a term that's used there. The filling of the Holy Spirit. There are many ways that that can be phrased. We look at the circle of the problem-solving devices, the divine dynasphere, and so on. But we are alert to know that it is ephemeral. It is the bubble can easily burst by personal sin. And three of them are suggested here in this verse. You can get angry because of something that's said from the pulpit. Or you can decide you want to talk about something in the middle of a sermon. That's arrogance too. And so these things may pop up in the mind of an individual, and they're instructed, no, suppress that, just shut up and listen. If you're confused, that's okay. You'll get it in the eventual Bible classes that are to follow. But right now, just listen and get what you can get. Don't worry about what you don't understand. That comes later. And so to be frustrated about something that's mentioned that you don't quite get or understand, you can't stay there and dwell on that. Just push that off to the side and come back later. Keep concentrating on what is being communicated right now. That's the idea behind this. And so inside the bubble, therefore, it can easily pop through personal sins. The act of hearing is indicated by the aorist active infinitive of the verb akouo, to learn by hearing, to understand, to comprehend. So hearing is imperative here. Speaking is not, we can see. So if you are listening and concentrating, that is the mental attitude and the environment for learning. And so that is the concept we see, to learn by hearing, to understand, to comprehend. The best translation is, everyone must be ready to learn and comprehend, would be an expanded translation. And you cannot learn unless you listen, and listening requires concentration. Retention requires believing what you've heard. So that's a process that you can see right here with the top and bottom circles. Down in the bottom circle, you can see that it's got little dashes. It means it's easily popped. The circle or the bubble can burst, and you're over here in carnality. So you have the filling of the Holy Spirit here. You're walking in the light. You're in status quo spirituality, and you're in temporal fellowship. All these verses explain being inside the bubble. When sin occurs, that's personal sin right here, it means you go over into carnality. The bubble has burst, and as a result of that, you have lost the filling of the Holy Spirit and His teaching ministry, if it occurs in the congregational period. And so that's carnality, and the only way to recover from that is to confess the sin. We call it rebound. It puts you back inside the bubble. So this is the analysis of this first requirement, begins with the principle of being in fellowship. And that's what this diagram demonstrates, how you can be in it, out of it, and how you get back inside. Therefore, this includes the filling of the Holy Spirit. Maintenance of the filling ministry requires the ability to stay inside the bubble. Therefore, maintenance of the filling of the Spirit requires isolation of distractions. For spiritual growth to occur, the believer must sequester himself away from circumstances that cause mental attitude, verbal, and overt sins. Everybody has circumstances in their life. There may be exigencies you face right now. There may be challenges that you have to endure. But whatever that is must be isolated during the brief hour we have here. There are solutions in the Word of God. And when those solutions are accessed, then those issues that concern you can be managed accordingly. And if you therefore get out of fellowship you decide to go to human viewpoint solutions, that only compounds the problem. So the idea is to listen and concentrate. Now, the aorist tense of akouo means to hear. It refers to the period of time the believer is present in the assembly. The challenge our church presents is the ability to be ready to isolate distractions, to be able to listen, and to concentrate. The concentration concept is the important part. In the development of the exegesis of a verse, you have to remember some of the things that have already been taught. This is a new paragraph, but we built an inventory coming to this point, and there are going to be other paragraphs to follow. So James is building a case, and the case is going to result in we're going to take information we acquire in the academic arena, and we're going to apply them in the devil's world. And that's called good works, divine good. And we'll get to that very soon. How long must you do this to fulfill the commandment? Let me tell you about this. You people, you isolate 2.5% of your 168-hour week to this. 4 hours. Can you concentrate for 4 hours a week? That's the challenge. Challenged to concentrate for 4 hours. You say, well, you know, I have to concentrate on my job. Concentrate on what I do every day. Yeah, when you leave here today, you'll be concentrating on the freeway. You better concentrate on those people. And do you know the most dangerous people out there? Those that go 55 in a 70 zone. They're looking to be clobbered from the rear. So you have to be alert to those people. Where are you commanded to do all of these things? Where is this supposed to happen? Right here. 1821 South River Road, St. Charles, Missouri. Obviously, this requirement is directed toward those who live in a reasonable driving distance of the church. The rest are qualified Doritos whose assembly must be accomplished by means of electronic contrivances. This is the 21st century. I thought Roku was a Japanese term, and it may be. I don't know what Roku means, but as far as I'm concerned, what Roku means is that when Joe Henry's arm was all broke up, she could watch Bible class while I was over here. Now, there are other ways you can watch Bible class. Roku's the one I know about. Mark Besser, who stuck his head in the door, who, by the way, served in the United States Army. Mark says he does Bible class on his road trips. He has to travel for his job, and he watches on his telephone. Okay? How do you? Do you use a telephone? I don't know how to use my phone. I receive calls and place calls on my telephone. I don't know how to do anything else. Now, I do get email on it, but nobody does email anymore, so I don't ever get email. So that's what my phone is for. But I don't need it to watch Bible class. So my point is all kinds of electronic contrivances are out there now, and no one has an excuse not to get to Bible class. Obviously, this requirement is directed to those who live in a reasonable driving distance. Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us concentrate on other believers for the purpose of encouragement from virtue love and divine good production. Stop deserting, that's desertion is the term there. Stop deserting the assembling of yourselves together as is the habit of some reversionists. But by being an encouragement to one another, and all the more as you see the day of your physical death or the rapture of the church approaching. So this entire process is accomplished by Operation Z. This is the system by which you learn the Word of God. The divinely prepared system of God's communication network, how He communicates with us through the Holy Spirit and your ability to concentrate. So we have the Word of God is made clear to the positive believer by means of the Holy Spirit's teaching ministry. So you're familiar with this diagram here. You've seen it a lot, but it comes into view here because we have imperative moods that take place in the local church where doctrine is being communicated requiring concentration so that you are not to speak and you're not to get angry. So it says here in the system that you're very familiar with, and by the way, these are Gary's additions here. Alliteration is what you call this. And he wanted it broken down into alliteration so that the prisoners he communicates with will have a quick and easy way to understand Operation Z. So I added that for him. So we have the Holy Spirit as the communicator. This guy here simply talks. This guy here, the Holy Spirit, is the one that makes it understandable to the believer. So this is the guy doing the work here. That's Didasco, the Holy Spirit. And he teaches the human spirit pneumatikos. That's information that comes in to this human spirit concept. And then it's captured in the nous under common grace. If you're an unbeliever, this would be the concept for the unbeliever learning the gospel. But it's academic understanding for us. So as I teach along today, there may have been something that said that you didn't quite get. You have academic understanding of what's been said, but you don't exactly know how it applies to your personal life and in your spiritual life. And so when you get it, when you say, I believe that, I understand what he just said about that, and I believe that, then the Holy Spirit will take that and put it in the cardia. And that's a cognizance of divine thought, which is epinosis. It goes into the stream of consciousness in various categories of doctrinal analysis. And therefore, when issues confront you, either inside the church or outside it, and you have to make a decision about whatever it is, you're faced with a volitional decision to make, then you comply based on the doctrine you know. And therefore, you have a storage area, which is your brain's neural pathways and so on. So spiritual growth requires concentration, and to do so for an hour at a time demands supernatural provision, which is the teaching ministry, which functions under the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the pastor stands up here, does his duty, stays down in the hole, grinds it out, vets it, puts it on paper, passes it out, you get it and look at it, and then I teach off of these notes. And that has completed my duty at that point. All I can do is accumulate information, strain it down to words, and then pass it out. Then I'll communicate it from the pulpit. You have to receive that. You have to comply with what is communicated. You have to retain it in your cardia. You have to apply it in your daily lives. Once I get it said, my duty's done. Notice I don't follow you around. I just stay in my hole. I stay out of your way. I get to talk to you 4 hours a week. And then when I do that, I'm done. You ought to be getting it by now. It's been 32 years. Everybody will be a professional believer now. You say, well, I hadn't been here but an hour and a half. Hang in there, buddy. It's a long road to hoe. How long is it till the day you die? The issue is to focus on the message, not the messenger. The pastor has the gift of communication, but that element of the gift is dependent upon his devotion and dedication and making sure he has done his due diligence in preparing the message under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. To quote a recent president, let me be clear. I am blessed with resources that I have spent over 45 years accumulating through the grace of God. I have a huge library. Guys come into my office from time to time that are not members of this church. Like the guy that sprays for bugs, I love him. I don't like bugs, so I'm happy to see Chris every time he comes in. In fact, I've got a tip for you. If you got, what are those brown spiders called? Well, there, brown recluse. Recluse means they hide, sneaky, but deadly. So if you have brown recluse, just give Jo Henry a call. She'll give you Chris's number. He's got the magic solution. He's got a treatment that he can do in your house. You can have an entire colony, thousands upon thousands of brown recluse. And when Chris leaves, they're all dead and I'll never come back. The little scrawny little feet, they've got this kind of spray. He sprays this stuff up in your attic, and all this glue, it's a glue that just sticks to everything. And those little creatures with little scrawny little legs come out and plop down on there, and they can't move. They may look around at each other saying, "What's going on here?" But nobody's moving. And then they die a miserable death. So, no extra charge for that. In my 32 years here, I'm certain that I've driven some people off because they didn't care for me, which is not a surprise to me, by the way. But I am not the issue. Pastor is not the issue. The issue is you. The overriding issue is, how are you now maintaining your spiritual life? You leave this church, how do you plan to maintain your spiritual life? How are you going to do that? You say, "Well, I've got Roku." If you are grace-oriented, as you should be, then the issue is not about me, it is about the message. I may speak as a fool, but I teach a precise presentation of Bible doctrine from an exegetical, literal, grammatical, historical, hermeneutical system. Put a lot of time into that. The signs of the times are stark and evident. This is not the time for forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. The future of the client nation is in danger. When the cycles of discipline commence apace, the Father will focus His wrath primarily on believers whose spiritual life was wasted in bitterness because they could not isolate distractions, as if problem-solving devices had never entered their mind. People are no damn good. Get used to that. It's the devil's world. Everybody has a sin nature. They're going to say or do something that's going to irritate you. Wait a day and you'll do the same thing. Everybody's got a sin nature and everybody has a bad day. And sometimes people are thoughtless at the moment. There's no reason to carry that baggage around with you and rob yourself of the importance of growing in grace before the teaching of the Word of God. Second issue is that must be addressed is control of the tongue. The phrase begins with the adjective bradus, which means slow. And what you should be slow to do is speak. That's the aorist active infinitive of laleo, which means to speak. Question: can you control your tongue? The underlying principle here is this. If you do not have direct supervisory or parental authority over another person, then your verbal analysis only takes the discipline off your object and turns it back upon you. We'll close with these two verses. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." Give some thought to that, and we'll reassemble here at Grace Doctrine Church, Wednesday evening, 7:30. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying your word today. It's our prayer that the Holy Spirit will take what we've noted, what we've learned, what we've concentrated upon, make it real to us, make it a part of our inventory for application. We thank you for your matchless grace, and we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Kares human kai irene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.